conclude off Exodus chapter 2 there. Caleb, thank you very much. And I'm very excited about the book of Exodus at the minute. I hope that shows. And I've entitled this sharing this morning, "Your Deliverer is Coming." Your Deliverer is on the way. In fact, your Deliverer has already come, if we're actually believers in Christ. And a few years ago, a very good friend of ours, who you'll know, called Zoran Spasuski, was here for 6 months. And one of the things that we got him to do was to, working with some of the other churches, they went into schools and they did a thing called the Amazing Journey. Anybody remember those days? And what we did is they took into the schools, they dramatized some of the Bible stories. And of course, Zoran got to play Goliath because he's a really tall guy. But I always remember something Zoran said to me. He was amazed. Now, he came from a country that was post-communist, officially atheistic. And he said, "I was amazed that some of your kids in school, they didn't know the Bible stories. They didn't know who Goliath was and who David was." And you know, sometimes we take that for granted. So praise God that we've got parents and we've got grandparents, we've got Sunday school teachers and creche teachers and Christian teachers who teach our children and our young people the Bible stories, because they are very, very significant. And I'm going to assume we all do know the story of Exodus already. Did anyone see the film the other night, Exodus, Gods and Kings? Anybody see that movie? Yeah, Davey, you had it on your Facebook, own up there. Anybody ever see Prince of Egypt? Yeah, based on the book of Exodus. And anybody heard of the 4th of July for the American people, Day of Independence? Well, the book of Exodus is Israel's story of how they became a nation and they gained their independence and they went into covenant with the living God. This is a very important story, very important book for them. And do you know the story? It's how God took this oppressed people who were slaves, raised up a deliverer, and he set them free, and they became a people that God would live with. Have you heard that story before? Have you heard an even greater story, that there was a greater oppression and a greater slavery when men, women, and children all over this planet were in bondage to the devil, in bondage to sin, in bondage to the penalty of sin, the power of sin, to addiction, to selfishness, and a greater than Moses came. His name was Jesus, and he set people free from every tribe and tongue and nation. And that was connected with this story because God preserved Israel so that Christ could come for us. We're part of this incredible history and this incredible story. And it is still so relevant today, this book, because today people still need to be set free. Isn't that true? You know, there are Christians need to be set free. We're not living in the benefit of what Jesus did for us on the cross, still struggling with things that he set us free from him or wants to set us free. And even all the not yet believers all around us, all over the world, people are groaning and murmuring and crying out, and they don't even know what it's for, but it's for the living God. Someone said that the young man who's doing drugs is seeking God. There's got to be something transcendent to enjoy beyond the boredom and the ordinariness of this life. The middle-aged man, someone has said, who's rapping the door of a brothel is searching for God, but he doesn't realize it, because sin doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fulfill. And there's people of all ages looking in all the wrong places for fulfillment and satisfaction that only God can bring. And that's why this book is so relevant, up to date for us today. I wish I could do it justice. And I was going to get someone to read chapter 2 with feeling and dramatize it, because I don't want us to be casual. I don't want us to miss the impact of this book, but I'm going to give you 3 episodes from the early life of Moses and apply it to our lives, and it's all based on Exodus chapter 2, which we all read, didn't we? And by the way, for the next few weeks, read the first 15 chapters of Exodus. Read chapter 3 to 15 for the next series of talks. It's on its way. But today's talk is your deliverer is coming. Or we could even say your deliverer has come. So let's read the scripture. Maybe we should just honor the scripture. If you don't mind, we'll stand to your feet as I read this. The words of the living God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it says like this: there was a man from the house of Levi, and he took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. And why did she hide him? Because the dictator said, any male child has to be thrown into the Nile. Kill that thing. Infanticide. Genocide. She hid him for 3 months. And she took for him, when she could hide him no longer, she took a basket made of bulrushes, daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh, wow. The daughter of the person with the greatest power on the face of the earth at that time just happened to be going down to the riverbank, and his sister stood at a distance. What would happen? And the daughter came with her young women, walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Wow. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. There's a good job, isn't it? Bring up your own child, and I'll pay you. No benefit system those days, or was there? So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because I drew him out of the water. Be seated. Thank you for showing respect for this Bible story and for these scriptures. Let me say the context again. This situation in chapter 2, we read about this Moses being born as a baby. This is gritty and a very serious situation, because all the boy babies were to be eliminated. But God behind the scenes was preserving the life of this little child. But notice what he used to preserve the life of this child. He didn't come with thunder and lightning and appear like he did at Mount Sinai. He didn't immediately do anything like God. It was in a very indirect, hidden way behind the scenes. How did God preserve the life of the deliverer? Firstly, he was born into a family with godly parents. Don't underestimate being a godly father or a godly mother to the youngest of your children. Even before they're born, don't underestimate the significance of protecting and praying and believing for that child. God was in that. Notice in the early chapters of Exodus, and I love this, God used 12 women in particular to preserve the life of this boy and young man. We read about the midwives in chapter 1. And what I said last week is, be a spiritual midwife. Preserve life. He used his mother. He used his sister, who we later learn was called Miriam. He used Pharaoh's daughter, of all people. And he used Pharaoh's daughter's slave woman. And then later on in this chapter, there's 7 girls, the daughters of a priest in Midian, and Moses rescues those girls from the shepherds and ends up marrying one of them. And I just want to say, whether you're a man or a woman, do not underestimate the significance of doing stuff behind the scenes that honors God. Don't underestimate the significance of practical things, acts of kindness, praying for people, and honoring people in God's name. Then when the baby was too old to hide, they made an ark for this child. And it might interest you to know that the word translated ark in Exodus 2 is the same word for Noah's ark in Genesis. And what we saw in Noah's ark is that the whole world was under a catastrophic judgment with water, but those in the ark were safe and were saved. The big ark. And here we have a little ark, and it was cast into the waters of death. And this life was protected in the ark. And of course, we then discover Pharaoh's daughter was bathing and she found it. What an incredible God is up to something. There are no coincidences. There are no accidents. God is responding to his people's cry for deliverance. Your deliverer is on the way. The irony of this. I'm Pharaoh. I'm going to destroy this people. Especially the boys. And my word has gone out. Meanwhile, all this stuff is going on. And one day, his daughter comes along with this little baby. I'm adopting him. Okay. That's okay. I think that's brilliant. In Pharaoh's mind, he was in charge. And there he is, his daughter is bringing the deliverer into the royal palace. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What an incredible God we serve. Now, when we were discussing the preachings from Exodus and the minor prophets, one of the things that we were saying, one of the things that I was saying, one of my hobby horses, is you need to find Christ in the Old Testament. You need to find Jesus in these stories. I have a question. Do you see a parallel with Jesus? Was there a Pharaoh in Jesus's around the time of Jesus' birth called Herod? Was there an edict went out through Herod, kill the boy babies? Was there a mother who hid that child and took him down to Egypt, of all places? And it says in Hosea, I have called my son out of Egypt. When Jesus was on earth, did he go through a situation where he was cast into the waters of death? And did he come out the other end? Absolutely. You see the death of the water of the Nile. The Nile water was the place of death for those Hebrew children. When they were cast into that river, it was over. But out of that river of death came forth a deliverer in resurrection power. That's our Jesus Christ. There are no accidents in the Bible. I love this book. Was there, just as Moses, remember, he ended up being adopted by the top man's wife. Sorry, daughter? Probably Moses was the heir of that kingdom. And Moses came down from that place, as we will see in the next section, and he identified with the Hebrew people, and he tried to rescue them. He ended up killing an Egyptian. Did our Lord Jesus Christ come down from a royal court and identify with us and live a life among us? Absolutely. So the Lord Jesus Christ is in this story. It's in the book of Exodus. And were women significant in Jesus' life, service and ministry? Was there a wee teenager God used called Mary? In Luke chapter 8, were there a group of women, some of whom were set free from evil spirits, ended up ministering to Jesus? And at the cross, the 12 disciples scarpered, but there was a group of women there who stayed to the end. And who was the first person to see the risen Christ? A woman. Everything in the old is fulfilled in the new. Don't underestimate the value of children and women and men and left out people. God can use all of us. It's absolutely fantastic. And is the deliverer coming in Exodus? 400 years under oppression. Then Moses is born and they try to kill him. And Moses spends 40 years in the royal palace. The deliverer's coming, but where is he? And then we see in the next section of this book, this chapter, he decides the time is right. Moses decides the time is right. I'll investigate what's happening with the Hebrews, and I will rescue them in my own strength. And he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he kills the Egyptian. And the next day, two Hebrews are fighting, and Moses says, "You shouldn't be doing this." And they turn to him and say, "Who do you think you are?" They reject him. And Moses, for 40 years, getting ready, is rejected. And he goes to a foreign land called Midian. Do you know for how long? 40 years. God, why take so long? Where are you, God? We're still groaning. We're still praying. We're still longing. Where is your coming, Lord Jesus? The second coming. Why, God, do you not move quickly and swiftly? God is a patient God. Thank God he is a patient God. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He works according to a different time schedule than we do. We live in an age of instant coffee. Instant coffee is evil. I mean, if you drink espresso, those beans have got to be roasted that day. They've got to be ground within seconds of the water, which has got to be 80 degrees for a proper cup of coffee. And sometimes we're into instant spirituality. There is something about patience. There's something about perseverance. There's something about staying faithful until the end. But even if the Lord Jesus Christ has not yet come, he's on his way. He's coming. And the reason he delays, some are hidden in his love and grace and wisdom. Continue to trust him. So Moses, baby, 3 months in the river, brought up by his mother at a certain age, handed over to Pharaoh's daughter, grows up in the royal palace. And the next part of the story, which is a bit shorter, is he's fully grown. He's 40 years old. Enter Moses, the man of God, ready to set Israel free. And the New Testament teaches us he was willing to sacrifice all the benefits of Egypt. Wow. And then something strange happens. Verse 11 to 15. One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and he looked on their burdens. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that way, seeing no one. He struck down the Egyptian, hid him in the sand. And he went out the next day, and two Hebrews were fighting. And he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" And he answered, "Who made you prince and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid. Surely the thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled and stayed in the length of Midian. What a turnaround. One day he's God's man of faith and power. Now he's scarpered to Midian. And I want to encourage you. Many times we go through that. We have times on the mountaintop and God is real and God's given me a passion. God's with me. And we blow it. Or we think we blow it and that God can no longer use us. What we need to understand is it's all part of God's moving, discipline, and purposing and planning. Moses had 40 years educated in Egypt, and then he had 40 years in the desert looking after sheep. Jesus, he was in eternity. And Genesis kicks in. God created heavens and the earth. Man fell, and God said to Eve, "Through you, someone will be born that will destroy the enemy." Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years went by. What is God doing? And then when the time had fully come, Christ was born of a woman. And yet, 30 years of his life, he was in obscurity. Didn't do a single miracle. And at the age of 30, he went public. He was baptized. And even then, he wasn't quite ready for his ministry. He spent how long in the desert? 40 days. The number 40, very significant. Moses was 40 in Pharaoh's palace. 40 years in the wilderness. And at the age of 80, then God appeared to him and called him. And Jason will talk more about that in a couple, 2 or 3 weeks' time. So what's the rush? God is, there's more to things than meet the eye. And I guarantee, look at your life, look at your history with God, and you'll discover that sometimes it was through the difficult times, the trials, the waiting times, that God put something in you, that God dealt with you, and still is. And it's a wonderful revelation to realize that God is with you, whether it's on the mountaintop, in the palace, or in the desert, he's still with you. He's up to something. He's changing us. He's transforming us from one degree of glory to another. And so after he goes to, and we read these words, "Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters." What a rich man. "And they came to draw water, and they filled the troughs of water, and the shepherds came and drove them away." I think that was a very abusive, aggressive situation. I don't think this was, you know, "Girls, we're going first." I think there was aggression taking place here. These women were in a vulnerable situation. And Moses came. "Your deliverer is coming." And he drove the shepherds away. And the girls went home and they told their father that this man came and rescued us. And the father says, "Well, where is he? Bring this guy home. Bring him into our lives. Bring him into the home. Let's offer hospitality. Let's enter into fellowship and relationship with this man." And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And that's one of those girls became his wife. And they had he had a son and called him Gershom, for he said, "I've been a sojourner in a foreign land." All of these years were part of Moses' preparation. See, I reckon a life, sorry, Paul, for saying this. I reckon a life coach would probably say to Moses, you see all that stuff in Egypt, the art, the science, the mathematics, that's training you and preparing you for your future. And at the age of 40, he was mighty in word and deed, and he failed. He trusted in his own strength and his own gifting, his own talents, rather than the Lord. But the 40 years in Midian, looking after those sheep, was an important part of his training. Being faithful with the little things. Being a family man. Loving his wife. Loving his children. Honoring his father-in-law. And trusting God with his future. There's a very interesting psalm. It's Psalm 90. And I can't not mention this. But it was probably written by Moses. And Moses was talking in this psalm about how we will probably live to 70. If by the grace of God, 80. Did you not know, Moses, life was just starting for you at 80? I'm not going to ask for show. Anybody 80 or above here? But Moses' greatest adventure with God started at the age of 80. It's not too late. If you're 65, it's not too late. If you're 80, it's not too late. If you're 12, it's not too young. Because I think there's a 12-year-old at the back here. But I was divorced. God can use the negatives in your past to minister to people in the future. God was not surprised, shocked, or didn't know about your mistakes, your failures, and your sins. Your God is up to something. So be encouraged. Step up. Count yourself in. Moses is a tremendous example, a tremendous model for all of us. All of those years were part of Moses' preparation for his future. And finally, look at those last few verses of chapter 2. During those many days, the king of Egypt died. That big, pompous dictator, Pharaoh, who was responsible for genocide, died. Life is short. There is a time limit to all human affairs. And the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. And their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And listen to this. God heard their groaning. I would say God hears your groaning. Now, Heather said, you don't worry about praying fancy prayers, but I'm praying for someone. I actually told her who it was, so I'm not. I said, you know, but one of my prayers is, you know what? Let's make up a name, okay? You know what Cecil is groaning about? Hear his groaning. You know what Cecilia is crying about, burdened about. Hear her burden. Remember, you're a covenant-keeping God. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Actually, that phrase, God knew, it's not like, you know, I'm God, I know everything anyway. Just tick that off doctrinally. It's like saying, God knows. See the difference? God knows your pain. God knows your challenges. God knows what the devil has done. God knows what sin has done. God knows what's hurt you. God knows what's trying to rob you of your future and your destiny. God knows. And God cares. And your deliverer is on the way. Your deliverer is on the way. Where? Trust me. When? Trust me. The hidden God is about to step out and be revealed in chapter 3. The hidden God is about to step out and be revealed in chapter 3. Isn't that right, Jason? Amen. So, Andrew, did you have a song, a suitable song to finish on? Yeah. You do. Thanks. In fact, one of those earlier songs would have been perfect anyway, but and would you be kind